Okay, for this session, we're going to be talking about the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is something Seventh-day Adventists major in. It's their crown jewel, as it were, in Seventh-day Adventism. Unfortunately, there are few Seventh-day Adventists that keep the Sabbath. And as we go along in this presentation, perhaps it will become clearer to you. In the earlier meeting, I had said that I will probably be asking for participation by way of looking up scriptures for me and finding Ellen G. White comments for me, because I don't have my keyboard handy and I can't multitask well enough, and I did not make notes because I wanted to keep you awake by participation. So, we have a statement from Ellen G. White regarding proclaiming the Sabbath more fully. Can someone please grab that one and read it for us?
I saw that God had children who do not see and keep the Sabbath. They have not rejected light upon it. And at the commencement of the time of trouble, we were filled with the Holy Ghost as we went forth and proclaim the Sabbath more fully. This enraged the churches and nominal Adventists, as they could not refute the Sabbath truth. And at this time, God's chosen all saw clearly that we had the truth, and they came out and endured the persecution with us. I saw the sword, famine, pestilence, and great confusion in the land. The wicked thought that we had brought the judgments upon them, and they rose up unto counsel to rid the earth of us, thinking that the evil would be stayed.
All right, thank you. Some would say, and rightly so, that Ellen White's phrase of proclaiming the Sabbath more fully would be applied to extending the knowledge of the Sabbath, because there would be thousands instead of hundreds proclaiming the Sabbath. So it would be covering a wider portion of the earth. Just as Yahshua said that you will do more things than I have done, greater works than I have done, you will do. Talking about an extended work, he was working in the local area, whereas his disciples would spread around the world, and it would be a greater overall work. That application is reasonable, but we have found that there's a more impacting application of that phrase as well, because the Sabbath is deeper than meets the eye or the written word. The Sabbath represents a relationship between Yahweh and his creatures. In fact, it is involved in the seal of God. And Adventists talk about that. But they don't seem to understand the depth of the seal of God. The seal of God is not just a signet or a sign per se. The Sabbath goes to the heart of the Father and his Son. Go ahead, Brother David.
I was looking through these other Ellen White quotes and I found a passage that might support your interpretation of this phrase more fully. This is from Signs of the Times in 1897. It says, "The Sabbath was given to Adam and Eve in Eden for all their posterity. The Jews were not more closely related to Adam than were any other nations on the earth. Instead of losing its force now, the law is to be more fully understood." So it's not just about extent, it's also about the depth of understanding, I would say, because she uses that same phrase to say the law needs to be more fully clarified and explained to people.
Thank you. That's good, and that's one I wasn't aware of. Now, we have this book. For those who haven't seen it before. And in the first section, there are three sections. In the first section on page 73, we have an article. Let's see. Can you see that? The Three Sabbaths. The Three Sabbaths. That was written by E.J. Wagner. I don't know the year, but he began to flesh out the beginnings of what we now understand the Sabbath to be. He proposed that there are three Sabbaths. However, there's only one true Sabbath. There's one true Sabbath, but there are two Sabbaths that are false Sabbaths. So we have the Sabbath of Yahweh. That's the true Sabbath. But we also have the Jewish Sabbath. The Jewish Sabbath. Can you read that on the screen?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what is the Jewish Sabbath? The Jewish Sabbath is the sign of man. Man's works, man's efforts to have eternal life or to be in favor with God. So what we have is man, this Jewish Sabbath is a sign of man working out his own salvation as if he were equal with God, that he had something to offer God, he had some merit. This is precisely what we find most welcome, Sister Daphne.
Thank you.
This is what most Adventists are actually observing. The time that it's observed is exactly the same as the Sabbath of Yahweh, the true Sabbath. But it's a counterfeit Sabbath observed at the same time as the true Sabbath. So only the Holy Spirit would be able to distinguish between the two. Remember the quotation from Ellen White about truth and error run so close together that they can only be discerned by the Holy Spirit. Those who have the Holy Spirit keep the Sabbath of Yahweh. Those who counterfeit the Holy Spirit, those who are commandment keepers, who counterfeit the Holy Spirit, are keeping the Jewish Sabbath. And the Jewish Sabbath takes on various things. I made a video about this one time before, and I would like you to look at that sometime. I don't remember the title of that video, actually. Does anybody remember that?
The next video is Trademarks and the Mark of the Beast.
That's it, yeah, Trademarks and the Mark of the Beast. And in that video, I go into great detail about these three Sabbaths. And I think that video can be found online. So the second counterfeit Sabbath is the papal Sabbath. Now, the papal Sabbath changes the time of God's law, changes the spirit to a spirit that says, I'm above God. The Jewish Sabbath says, I'm equal with God. The papal Sabbath says, I'm above God. I have the authority and power to change the law. It has the spirit that says, I know better than God. Remember how when Christ was on the earth, Judas was always trying to improve upon Christ's message. In fact, in his last famous act, he tried to force Christ's hand and cause him to exert his messianic power and become the deliverer of the nation. The spirit of Satan begins by just saying, well, I'm equal. You know, I want to be equal. But eventually, being equal is not good enough. I have to rule over God. I have to be above God. I have to show that I have something better than what God has to offer. And so, we see here the three Sabbaths. The Sabbath of Yahweh, the true Sabbath, and the Sabbath that has with it the spirit of love and the spirit of unity. And I'll go back to the spirit of unity in just a minute. The Jewish Sabbath is the spirit of force and uniformity. If we just all do the same thing, and we're uniform, it's a counterfeit unity. The papal Sabbath goes so far as to say, really, we don't need God because we have progressed to the point to where we know better than God. It has the spirit of force, and it has the spirit of blasphemy. The Sabbath of Yahweh is based in love. The counterfeit Sabbaths are based in selfishness, without regard for a relationship with Yahweh. Now, I said I wanted to go back to the Sabbath of Yahweh and talk about the spirit of unity. It was just today. Well, let me back up. Why did Yahweh give me this topic to present at the camp meeting? Sabbath, you would think, is the simplest topic to cover. Why would I, of all people, be assigned that topic? I think it was Providence. Last night I had trouble sleeping, and so between meetings today, I took a nap. While I was asleep, I had a dream. And in my dream, I saw that when Yahshua came forth from the Father, ere long ago, I don't know how to say the words of when that was, but in some time in eternity past, the Son of the living God came forth from the Father. And the Sabbath was the celebration of the manifestation of the Son of God and represented to the universe the unity between the Father and the Son that was no less than when the Son was a part of the Father himself. And so the Sabbath was to remind every created being that the Father and the Son are in perfect unity, representing to the universe the unity that all of God's creatures share together. It just brings me to tears to think that when we keep the true Sabbath, we are entering into that sacred bond of love that the Father and the Son experience. And only those who keep the Sabbath will partake of that unity. And we have been puzzled and perplexed in the Creation Seventh-day Adventist Church why few people are interested in unifying with us. They talk about the Father and the Son. They talk about unity, but because they do not keep the Sabbath, they do not understand the seal of the living God, they cannot even approach unity. Only those who keep the Sabbath will be in unity. And that unity will be perfect harmony. It seems like some of you are gathering in this idea for the, and that it can deepen, I think. I wouldn't be surprised if Brother David is inspired with a new article regarding this subject. I don't have words to describe fully what was in my dream. When I woke up, I questioned if what I had seen and heard was true. It was so new and revolutionary to my mind, but I wanted it to be true because it showed me even a new approach to evangelism. I would like you to join me in perfect harmony with our Father and Son. I would like to present to you the Sabbath in its fullness. To me, this is going to be the Sabbath more fully. It's sort of related to that camp meeting where I said, I need you. It's related to the words, I don't want to be in heaven without you. You see, if we approach people with Bible studies or doctrinal studies, that's religion. The Sabbath is not about religion. The Sabbath is about relationship. Think just for a moment. If you were the only person on this globe, imagine yourself in this world of beautiful creation without any people. Would anybody like to share what that would be like? Raise your hand. Go ahead, Sister Jenny.
I think like Sister Zell, it would help a person to focus on Yahweh, but it would be lonely if there was no other person to share this beautiful creation with, to enjoy it with. It's not good that man should be alone.
Okay. Anybody else? Sister Daphne.
Man is not meant to live by alone. So I think it would be lonely, but if we could communicate with God even then, well, that's, we would grow closer to him. So, but I don't think we were meant to be alone. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else want to share something? Sister Giselle?
So is the question if it's good to be alone in the earth, only with Yahweh? That's the question?
Can you imagine what it would be like to be the only human being on this globe?
Yeah, lonely. But like I was saying, I don't know, if you have a connection with Yahweh, you also want to be with other people and share that experience.
Right. Okay. Brother Luke, go ahead.
I suppose for a day or two it might seem all right, but I think, yeah, it would get lonely pretty quick. I'm reminded of the... there's those creatures that are before the throne day and night, and they just sit there all the time saying, holy, holy, holy. So I think that that would be the state if you didn't have anyone else to interact with. You'd just be there in rapture all the time. But it kind of seems like it would be unfulfilling in a certain way. And that almost seems a little blasphemous to say about heaven or worship, but like, yeah, Yahweh gives us blessings and love and light and all these things so that we can share them with others. It's this whole law of receiving to give. But if there's no one to give to, no one to share with, you just sit there and collect it all, but you never really get to distribute, which seems to be a real important part of what we're created for.
Have you noticed how reluctant... Oh, go ahead, Sister Barbara.
It's hard to imagine what it would be like to be the only person on earth. But I think that Yahweh wants us to not be alone. So we wouldn't have to be alone very long. He would create someone or bring someone for us. Because we would be lonely. We weren't created to be alone.
Yes, it seems like the conclusion is that it would be lonely. And loneliness is not good for our health because we are created to be in connection with our Father in heaven and his people. In fact, the two great commandments tell us, love the Lord thy God, love Yahweh with all your heart, mind, and soul, heart, spirit, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you didn't have a neighbor, you would not be fulfilled. Many people are reluctant to do evangelism because they don't have the spirit of evangelism. They don't have the essence of the Sabbath. You see, a magnet attracts certain metals. If a magnet passes by a metallic object, it pulls that metal to itself. Yahweh is a magnet. He is a spiritual magnet. And when a person's heart is in the right position, they are drawn to the magnet. But Yahweh cannot be physically everywhere at the same time. So he gives the task of reaching out to his children. He gives them the Sabbath as a gift. The Sabbath is a gift worth preserving. The Sabbath is a gift worth keeping at all times. It represents our relationship with our Father and His Son. It represents the relationship the Father and the Son have together. It represents true evangelism, and that is loving others as you love yourself. We don't understand the burning desire of the Father to gather his children into one unified body. This is something I've understood for a long time, but maybe I haven't modeled it very well to other people or to the church. But my heart is being touched today with a renewed fire to look at people as not candidates for baptism or candidates for church membership, but candidates for being my family, being part of vindicating my Father's character, which means explaining his burning desire to have them reconciled to himself. The Bible said, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The Sabbath actually represents that as well, the ministry of reconciliation. When we are keeping the Sabbath, our hearts desire is to reach every person that we possibly can in the sphere of our influence, to let them know, not that we are Christians necessarily, nothing to brag about, but to let them know that they are important to us. And most of all, they're important to our Father in heaven and Yahshua. Everyone wants to be important. Isn't it so? How many here do not want to be important? Nobody's raising their hand. Everybody wants to be important. So everybody you look at is going to have the same feeling. They want to be loved. They want to be important. They want to be needed. So, brothers and sisters, the Sabbath is not just a day. Let's continue with, I'll back up and go back to some old light that we have about the spirit letter of the law. Every law has spirit, and it has the letter. Can you read that? Okay.
Yes.
If you hate your brother, you're a murderer. The commandment is, thou shalt not murder. That's the letter. But then if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. That's the spirit of the law. And so the Sabbath spirit has been neglected by all commandment keepers that I know of.
I recall during some study some time ago, a comment made, and I think it was by pastor, but I can't remember who. But it's stuck with me ever since then. And it's the issue that the mark of the beast is really a Sabbath issue. And during the course of the discussion, a comment was made that had me seeing that verse in a new way that says that they have no rest day or night for those who worship the beast in his image. And I always had perceived that as being in hell, in torments, in the burning. But it's really about more than that. Only the Sabbath keepers can overcome the beast in his image. Only the Sabbath keepers have Christ in their heart, and therefore they have rest day and night. And so it's not just Yahweh burning them. It's about their own state of their conscience and their soul and their state of peace. Those who have Sabbath have rest day and night. Those who don't have Christ in their hearts don't have rest day and night. And because of that, the consequence is that they're destroyed. And you know, just as heaven begins here on earth, so does hell. Those who don't know Christ, those who don't have Sabbath, are in torment already. And what happens to them in the lake of fire is just the natural consequence of what's already begun here on earth. That's one thing. And related to that is the idea that if you've been following Facebook, you've seen that we've come across some really hard-hearted characters recently. You know, many of them claiming to be Seventh-day Adventists, but they have no rest. And you can see in the way that they deal with other people who disagree with them, like, for example, in the Trinity, on prophecy and anything. And the way that they get so up in arms about things and they become, you know, verbally violent. It just shows that they really don't have any idea of who Yahshua is. And they may be right doctrinally in many things, but they have no rest day or night. And you invite them to have this experience with you, and they think you're being condescending. And these are just the ones who, I don't want to say their probation is closed, but it would certainly take a miracle for them to be humble enough to even listen to someone who has an experience to share with them. So a lot of people out there to pray for. And so this victory over sin, this righteousness by faith that we're living, it transforms us. It gives us different meanings for the same words. And as long as we are open to sharing our experiences with other people, we never need to be worried or nervous about evangelism. Because we might think we're just saying something ordinary, but nobody in the world has heard words like these before that have become commonplace to us. So just share your experience with others, and you might be surprised at how they react to what you're saying.
The pastor has a comment.
Yeah, I just had, during this meeting, I'm having increased revelations. There's a couple things that Ellen White talks about regarding Sabbath observance, the Sabbath day observance. She says, don't sleep away the Sabbath. Number one. Number two, She says, guard the edges of the Sabbath. Now, this is beautiful stuff. When you look at it in terms of the letter of Sabbath, it just sort of makes you grind your teeth a little. But when you start applying this to the spirit of Sabbath and the celebration of the Father and the Son and the birth of the Son of God, does anybody pick up on what I'm seeing here? Don't sleep away the Sabbath and guard the edges of the Sabbath. I want you to have a chance to get the inspiration before I unload it on you.
I want to voice what my thoughts, and then I'd like to have you explain it when everybody's through, if that's okay. But I'm thinking about guarding the edges of the Sabbath. Don't let anything creep in to destroy this Sabbath rest and communion with Yahweh and Yahshua. If you sleep, well, you'll miss out. Sabbath will be gone. You've been sleeping. You won't be doing any communication. So that's it.
That's good. Are you ready for me to unload?
Yes.
Okay. Going back to the Sabbath being a celebration of unity, a celebration of Yahshua coming forth from his Father and showing to the whole universe, this is my Son. Can you imagine anybody sleeping during that? Can you imagine anybody coming late to the service? Can you imagine anybody leaving early when Yahweh called the convocation of the whole universe and said, I present to you my Son? It reminds me of a wedding where the two are gathered together to be united in holy matrimony. It's a symbol of the Father and the Son. And then the preacher says, I present to you the husband and the wife becoming one flesh. The two have become one. But in Yahweh's and Yahshua's case, the one became two. You know, it was they were always one. They became two, but they're still one. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So to guard the edges of the Sabbath, let's apply it to every relationship. My marriage to Barbara, you know, there are trying times. There are times when our conversation might become a little tense. We may be in the middle of a misunderstanding. But when we guard the edges, the relationship is not affected. Challenges come in the life of Yahshua, in this eternal life that we're living. Challenges come. But when we guard the edges of the Sabbath, we don't speak words that would hurt anybody unnecessarily. We listen carefully. To listen carefully to what somebody's trying to say is guarding the edges. Being careful how we say it to them is guarding the edges. Guarding the relationship so we don't bruise the relationship. We don't damage the unity. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
And of course, sleeping through it is obvious. You know, if you hadn't seen your brother in many moons, you know, maybe 5 years you haven't seen your brother, and he comes to visit and you fall asleep, do you think he's going to think you really care a lot about him? You know, so it has to do with attention. Give full attention to the relationship. If somebody's talking to you, don't doze off. Listen to them. Show an interest in them. Cultivate the relationship. That's what I'm getting right now. There might be more to it. I yield the floor.
Are there any hands or comments that I've missed or any new ones arising? Ah, Sister Arlitti, go ahead.
When I was attending SDA Church, I always knew that keeping the Sabbath, it wasn't only don't work in this day from sunset to sunset. I knew there was something more in the Sabbath. And I was, I wanted to know what was the real meaning, but I've never heard someone speaking about the spirit of the law. In SDA, they only speak about the letter of the law, but I knew, I was sure it wasn't only that, to keep the day and that's it. In my heart, I was missing something, and I was and I wanted to find out. And I pray sometimes, asking Yah, please show me, because I knew in my heart there is something more, but I can't find what it is. And praise Yahweh, I found the truth here in CSDA, and now I can have a meaningful Sabbath day with Yahweh and the church, and now I understand what is keep the Sabbath, and I want to praise Yahweh for that and thank him because he gave me this opportunity to rest in this holy day. I'm finished.
Pastor, go ahead.
I want to give a testimony. It's getting a little bit darker here. Wait a minute. Yeah, maybe that sheds more light on the subject. All of us here, except our Letty, we've known each other for a good amount of time. But for Our Lady's sake, and for the sake of even everyone here, and anyone actually watching the video, if I wanted to, I could recall times or situations where I was not in the best shall we say, there have been moments that have not been the best between me and all of you here. I'm not talking about anger or, you know, division or anything. I'm just talking about moments when I might rather have been somewhere else. But because of the Sabbath, because of Yah's perfect harmony, I guarded the edges. I didn't know that was what I was doing, but I was guarding the edges. And I came to the conclusion that, Sister Jody, there's nothing this side of heaven that could break me away from you. Why? Not because you're such a special person and I'm such a special person. You know, it's because of the Sabbath. It's because of the relationship that the Father and the Son have with each other. That's why I can't leave you and I can't let you go. And that goes for Brother David, Sister Giselle, Brother Luke, Sister Daphne and Barbara and Arletty now, and Alex and Jaime, all of the members that I can think of right now. I am with you because of the Father and the Son. That common bond, that bond of love, is what keeps us and guards the edges of our relationship. And we should never go to sleep. We should always be working to preserve the glory that's been given to us by our Father. I yield back.
All right, David, go ahead.
Even on a very practical level, the only reason relationships break down is because of unrest, because of discontent. But this adds a new dimension to that by seeing that the Father and Son being one, even though they're separate now, shows what our relationship is to be. It adds new light on. We've always said these words, you know. It's always because of discontent and unrest that people leave. But it's a new way of thinking about that now that draws us closer to who the Father and Son are. So I really like the way that this is going.
All right. Are there any further comments at this point? I liked the comment or the simile a while earlier about a magnet. Like Yahweh is like a magnet that attracts certain metals. It kind of comes in my mind like you know, if you pass a magnet over different kinds of metals, it only attracts some. It doesn't attract all of them. So I guess Yahweh is kind of like a gold magnet. Just pass through and extract the precious metals only. I think in terms of, so the gold metal attracts, it's kind of natural. And if somebody is following Yahweh, following truth in their heart, even if they don't have all the doctrines or the teachings right, they'll end up there because they can't help but being pulled into that unity and following it and surrendering themselves along that path. Now, I think that there's a type of aversion that happens with a magnet. It's usually not with metal. It's usually with another magnet. That thing kind of brings into my mind if somebody has a idol, they have a false god, they have something else they're worshiping. If it's self, self is the idol, then they're going to be repelled from Yahweh's attempt to bring them in because there's a conflict. It's another god trying to compete. And Yahweh can't have any harmony with that. Giselle, go ahead.
I'm just going to say that the magnet idea brought to mind the verse that says that God resists the prideful.
Yeah, that idea about Yahweh attracts and then others are kind of attracted to him through us. It reminds me of like, you ever take a magnet and put it into a bag of nails? If you pull it out, it's not just the nails that are attached to the magnet, but that current pulls through the nails, through other nails, through other nails. So you get like this big cluster of nails that's just all bound together and attached to the magnet into each other. Was it Pastor that had a hand up? I thought I saw someone's hand there.
Yes, thank you. A magnet, two magnets, if they come together in the right way, they will really cling to each other. But if the poles are turned on the opposite way, they repel.
Right, and so that's the thing. If you've got two magnets, that means that both of them have a positive side and a negative side. That's the direction the force is moving. So you put the north next to the south, they attract, but if you turn them away from each other, both of them are repelling in the same direction. It pushes them apart because of the way their electrons are lined up, yeah.
So independent ministries are like magnets that are butting at each other's same poles.
Mm-hmm.
And they cannot come together.
Because they're all teachers. It's not teachers and receivers anymore.
Right.
They're all trying to be Yahweh. They're all trying to be the boss.
Exactly. Right. And also, another thing that I used to do when I was a young person, I was really interested in magnets, and I would have a strong magnet and maybe a screwdriver, like a screwdriver like this. My finger would be a screwdriver. And I would rub the screwdriver with the magnet in the same direction a lot. I don't know how many times, but a lot of times. And what that would do is that would shift the pluses and the minuses in the screwdriver, and the screwdriver would become a weak magnet. Mm-hmm. And I could pick up things with that. So conversion is kind of like Yahweh shaping us, getting our pluses and minuses lined up, getting us in unity with the Father and the Son. And then when we reach out to others, if their heart's in the right place, we attract them and they come in.
Well, I was thinking.
I saw a hand from Sister Daphne earlier.
Okay, with magnets, the lichens repel, but if they're opposite, then they attract. Now, how do you explain that to the us?
I'll call on my own hand as moderator for that one.
Okay.
We're the only people that can see it with this camera. So I don't know if you can see these pins very clearly. That looks pretty good on my screen.
I see it.
All right. So I've got two pins here, right?
Yes.
So let's say that this pointy end here is positive, and this one with the button here is negative, right?
Right.
So if I want these to attract to each other, I have to put this tip to this button. That's opposite ends, right?
Right.
So that's one way to look at it. But what you'll notice, another way to look at it, is that these are pointing the same direction. In order for me to make those connect, this has to be going the same direction as this does. So it's not really that opposites are attracting. It's that these two are joining together and becoming one. This becomes one large magnet that's all in the same direction. And that's why if you put multiple magnets together, they actually become stronger, because it's acting as one giant magnet that pulls all of its pull together as one united thing. So yeah, we say opposites attract, and that's a pretty common saying. And at a certain perspective, that can look true, because the opposite ends are what are connecting. But that's only the case because they're all in the same direction, pointing the same way and going the same way. All right. I will ask if Sister Barbara will offer the closing prayer, and then we can dismiss.
Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the revelations and inspiration that you've been giving to us through Pastor Chick. We thank you for the celebration of the Sabbath day and the Sabbath rest that you've given to us. And we pray for Sister Arletty, as she's been suffering, and she's asking if you would please relieve her. Please guide the doctor in his recommendations and give Sister Arletty some relief, physically and mentally. And we pray for Sister Giselle as she prepares for the meetings tomorrow. And we thank you for keeping us until we meet again tomorrow morning. In Yeshua's name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. Amen.